Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, September the 4th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to give us the privilege of studying your word every day. We are grateful that we can come again today and continue our understanding of that which you have for us. We recognize that the time is near when we must absorb and understand all that you have given so that we might be able to stand with you. And so we ask that you would give us the strength and the wisdom today that is so needed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've reached the second chapter of the book of Micah, and we begin at verse 1. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields, and take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil. In that day shall one take up a parable against you, and lament with a doleful lamentation, and say, We be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields. Therefore, thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. Prophesy ye not. Say they to them that prophesy, they shall not prophesy to them that they shall not take shame. O thou art named the house of Jacob, Is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Even of late my people is risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe with a garment from them that pass by securely, as men averse from war. The women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have ye taken away my glory for ever. Arise, ye, and depart, for this is not your rest. Because it is polluted, it shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Berzerah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate, and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. Notice that God gives to Micah a special message here. And he continues to warn and continues to prepare these people for the time to come, giving them an opportunity, a probationary period, if you will, to turn from their wicked way. Their time of probation is drawing to a close, much like ours is. And the warnings that God is giving to his children then are similar to the warnings that God is giving to his children today. Testimony Volume 5, page 530, beginning at paragraph 1, says this. We are nearing the close of time. We want not only to teach present truth in the pulpit, but to live it out of the pulpit. Examine closely the foundation of your hope of salvation. While you stand in the position of a herald of truth, a watchman upon the walls of Zion, you cannot have your interest interwoven with mining or real estate business and at the same time do effectively the sacred work committed to your hands. Where the soul of men are at stake, where eternal things are involved, the interest cannot safely be divided. Let me repeat that for you. We are nearing the close of time. We want not only to teach present truth in the pulpit, but to live it out of the pulpit. Examine closely the foundation of your hope of salvation. In other words, show your beliefs based upon the plans that you're making. Continuing, while you stand in the position of a herald of truth, a watchman upon the walls of Zion, you cannot have your interest interwoven with mining or real estate business and at the same time do effectively the sacred work committed to your hands. Where the souls of men are at stake, where eternal things are involved, the interest cannot safely be divided. This is especially so in your case. While engaged in this business, you have not been cultivating heartfelt piety. You have had a feverish desire to obtain means. You have talked to many about the financial advantages to be gained by investing in lands. Again and again, you have been engaged in picturing the advantages of these enterprises. And this while you were an ordained minister of Christ, pledged to give your soul, body, and spirit to the work of the salvation of souls. At the same time, you were receiving money from the treasury to support yourself and your family. Your talk was calculated to draw the attention and money of our people away from our institutions and from the business of promoting the Redeemer's kingdom on the earth. Its tendency was to beget in them a desire to invest their means where you assured them that it would be doubled in a short time, and to flatter them with the prospect that they could help the cause a great deal more by so doing. I guess by giving it to you. You may not knowingly have advised them to withdraw their means from the cause of God, but some had no money to handle except that invested in our institutions, and it has been withdrawn from them to invest according to your suggestions. We are, in a certain sense, our brother's keeper. We are individually related to souls who may, through the merits of Jesus Christ, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Their purity, their sincerity, their zeal, their consistency, and piety are affected by our words, our works, our deportment, our prayers, and our faithful discharge of duty. Christ said to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." The ministers of Jesus Christ must teach, both in the church and to individuals, the fact that a profession of faith, even by Seventh-day Adventists, unless it proceeds from heartfelt piety, is powerless for good. Religious light is to shine forth from the church, and especially from the ministers, in clear, steady rays. It is not to flame up on special occasions and then grow dim and flicker as if about to go out. The excellence of Jesus Christ will ever shine in the character of true believers, and they will adorn the doctrine of our Savior. Thus, the excellency and the power of the gospel are revealed. Each member of the church is required to be in living connection with the source of all light and be a spiritual worker, doing his part by good works to reflect light to the world. Especially should the minister keep himself from every worldly entanglement and bind himself to the source of all power, that he may represent correctly what it means to be a Christian. He should cut loose from everything that would in any way divert his mind from God and the great work for this time. Christ expects him, as his employed servant, to be like himself in mind, in thought, in word, in action. He expects every man who opens the scriptures to others to work carefully and intelligently, not exercising his powers unwisely, in a way to injure or overtask them, but so that he may be fitted to do good work for the Lord. Every soul is called into active labor in some one of the various departments of the work, and the shepherd will lead and guide his flock. The tongue of the minister is not to be employed in telling men the best way to bury their means in the earth. He should tell them how to invest safely in the bank of heaven. May the Lord impart to you spiritual discernment, is my prayer. For you will surely make shipwreck of faith unless you get into a different condition spiritually. You need the converting power of God, and unless you are changed, you will surely let go your hold on the truth. But although you should gain the whole world, It would be a poor return for the loss of your soul. May the Lord help you, my brother, to come speedily to your senses and move like a man who has a well-balanced mind. May you take up your work with heart and lips sanctified and walk humbly with your God. The living, loving Jesus is ready to bless abundantly, but we need to obtain an experience in faith, in earnest prayer, and in rejoicing in the love of God. Shall any of us be weighed in the balances and found wanting? We must watch ourselves, watch the least unholy promptings of our nature, lest we become traitors to the high responsibilities God has bestowed upon us as his human agencies. We must study the warnings and corrections he has given his people in past ages. Let me repeat that sentence. We must study the warnings and corrections he has given his people in past ages. We do not lack light. We know what works we should avoid and what requirements he has given us to observe. So if we do not seek to know and do that which is right, it is because wrongdoing suits the carnal heart better than right doing. There will always be faithless ones who wait to be carried forward by the faith of others. They have not an experimental knowledge of the truth and consequently have not felt its sanctifying power on their own souls. It should be the work of every member of the church quietly and diligently to search his own heart and see if his life and character are in harmony with God's great standard of righteousness. The Lord has done great things for you in California, particularly in Oakland. But there's much more he would be pleased to do if you would make your work correspond with your faith. God never honors unbelief with rich blessings. Review what God has done and then know that it is only the beginning of what he is willing to do. We must place a higher value than we have upon the scriptures, for therein is revealed the will of God to men. It is not enough merely to assent to the truthfulness of God's word, but we must search the scriptures to learn what they contain. Do we receive the Bible as the oracle of God? Is it as really a divine communication as though its words came to us in an audible voice? We do not know its preciousness because we do not obey its instructions. There are evil angels at work all around us. But because we do not discern their presence with our natural vision, we do not consider as we should the reality of their existence as set forth in the Word of God. If there was nothing in the Scriptures hard to be understood, man, in searching its pages, would become lifted up in pride and self-sufficiency. It is never best for one to think that he understands every phase of truth, for he does not. Then let no man flatter himself that he has a correct understanding of all portions of Scripture and feel it his duty to make everybody else understand them just as he does. Let intellectual pride be banished. I left my voice in warning against every species of spiritual pride. There is an abundance of it in the church today. And the truth we now cherish was first seen in Bible truth. How very strange it appeared, and how strong was the opposition we had to meet in presenting it to the people for the first time. But how earnest and sincere were the obedient, truth-loving laborers. We were indeed a peculiar people. We were few in numbers, without wealth, without worldly wisdom or worldly honors, and yet we believed God and were strong and successful, a terror to evildoers. Our love for one another was steadfast. It was not easily shaken. Then the power of God was manifested among us. The sick were healed, and there was much calm, sweet, holy joy. But while the light has continued to increase, the church has not advanced proportionately. The fine gold has gradually become dim, and deadness and formality have come in to cripple the energies of the church. Their abundant privileges and opportunities have not led God's people onward and upward to purity and holiness. A faithful improvement of the talents God has entrusted to them would greatly increase those talents. Where much is given, much will be required. Those only who faithfully accept and appreciate the light God has given us and who take a high, noble stand in self-denial and self-sacrifice will be channels of light to the world. Those who do not advance will retrograde, even on the very borders of the heavenly Canaan. It has been revealed to me that our faith and our works in no way correspond to the light of truth that has been bestowed upon us. We must not have a half-hearted faith, but that perfect faith which works by love and purifies the soul. God calls upon you in California to come into close relationship with Him. One point will have to be guarded, and that is individual independence. As soldiers in Christ's army, there should be concert of action in the various departments of work. No one has the right to start out on his own responsibility and advance ideas in our papers on Bible doctrines when it is known that others among us hold different opinions on the subject and that it will create controversy. The First-Day Adventists have done this. Each one has followed his own independent judgment and sought to present original ideas until there is no concerted action among them, except perhaps in opposing Seventh-Day Adventists. We should not follow their example. Each laborer should act with reference to the others. Followers of Jesus Christ will not act independently one of another. Our strength must be in God, and we must be husbanded to be put forth in noble, concentrated action. It must not be wasted in meaningless movements. In union, there is strength. There should be union between our publishing houses and our other institutions. If this unity existed, there would be a power. No strife of variance should exist among the workers. The work is one, superintended by one leader. Occasionally, and spasmodic, efforts have done harm. However energetic they may be, they are of little value, for the reaction will surely come. We must cultivate a steady perseverance, continually searching to know and to do God's will. We should know what we must do to be saved. We should not, my brethren and sisters, float along with the popular current. Our present work is to come out from the world and be separate. This is the only way we can walk with God, as did Enoch. Divine influences were constantly working with his human efforts. Like him, we are called upon to have a strong, living, working faith. And this is the only way we can be laborers together with God. We must meet the conditions laid down in the Word of God or die in our sins. You must know what moral changes are essential to be made in our characters through the grace of Christ, in order to be fitted for the mansions above. I tell you in the fear of God, we are in danger of living like the Jews, destitute of the love of God and ignorant of His power, while the blazing light of truth is shining all around us. 10,000 times 10,000 may profess to obey the law of the gospel and yet be living in transgression. Men may present in a clear manner the claims of truth upon others, and yet their own hearts be carnal. Sin may be loved and practiced in secret. The truth of God may be no truth to them, because their hearts have not been sanctified by it. The love of the Savior may exercise no constraining power over these base passions. We know by the history of the past that men may stand in sacred positions and yet handle the truth of God deceitfully. They cannot lift up holy hands to God without wrath and doubting. This is because God has no control over their minds. The truth was never stamped upon their hearts. With the heart, man believed unto righteousness. Those that love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. Are you doing this? Many are not, and never have done it. The conversion has been only superficial. If then, says the apostle, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek thou those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The heart is the citadel of the man. From it are the issues of life or death. Until the heart is purified, a person is unfit to have any part in the fellowship of the saints. Does not the heart searcher know who are lingering in sin, regardless of their souls? Has there not been a witness to the most secret things in the life of everyone? I was compelled to hear the words spoken by some men to women and girls, words of flattery, words that would deceive and infatuate. Satan uses all these means to destroy souls. Some of you may thus have been his agents, and if so, you will have to meet these things in the judgment. The angel said to this class, their hearts have never been given to God. Christ is not in them. Truth is not there. This place is occupied by sin, deception, and falsehood. The word of God is not believed and acted upon. The present activity of Satan in working upon hearts and upon churches and nations should startle every student of prophecy. The end is near. Let our churches arise. Let the converting power of God be experienced in the hearts of the individual members, and then we shall see the deep movings of the Spirit of God. The forgiveness of sin is not the sole result of the death of Jesus. He made the infinite sacrifice not only that sin might be removed, but that human nature might be restored, rebeautified, reconstructed from its ruins, and made fit for the presence of God. What else can I say to you today, other than what I have read for you today? This is God's word and this is God's warning. And I hope that you're listening. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn us and you continue to instruct us and you continue to rebuke us. We ask you, Lord, please, please, Lord, bring us to that place where we recognize that it is not enough to have an intellectual understanding of the truth, but that that truth must be a part of our lives, a part of our characters. We thank you again for the message of today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, September 4th, 2019.